he compared himself to you in the sense of coming up in the industry. How does that feel?
I feel good.
Alright. Are you excited about performing on the Brooklyn Festival?
Yeah, you know, it's bittersweet though, because like my man is in one of my like big homies. He's getting married out in Hawaii. So it's like, it was either like, damn, like you just go to the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival, go see my man get married. So it was like, oh man. So it's kind of bittersweet. I'm going to miss my man's wedding.
Okay. So has Winefest told you anything about the festival, about it last year?
No. I don't really talk to Winefest like that.
Oh, okay. You know, in this era of hip-hop music, with a lot of club music and gangster rap, you kind of developed your own lane and created your own identity. The lyrics are honest and you're on a different level than the other rappers. You have interest in skateboarding and in cartoons and whatnot. What made you take that route and still keep your hip-hop?
It was two things. It was a creative thing where it just got really boring. You know, talking about the same stuff and listening to the same stuff.
Right.
You know, and it was that as from an artistic side where it was like, yo, let me talk about something else now, you know?
Yeah.
And then on a business side of things, it was like when you, because I own my own company, First and 15, so it's my company with my partner, Chili.
Yeah.
So from a business side of things, it was, you know, when the market is saturated, you got to diversify, you got to do something else. You know what I'm saying? Or
you're
just gonna get caught up in just all this saturation or whatever. So, I always, now that I own my own company and stuff like that, I think both ways, and my creativity is directly tied to my business and vice versa.
Yeah.
So, it was just like, yo, the industry is flooded with the same old, so you gotta do something.
Okay, I feel it. And you had that company for about 6 years, right?
Yeah.
So, do you have any artists signed to the label?
Yeah, we got three other artists. Besides myself, is Gemini, who's a singer. He sings and he rhymes.
Right.
And then we have a female MC by the name of Shayla G.
Okay.
And then we have a R&B group by the name of Risqué.
Okay.
A female R&B group. And then
Tight.
We have like two producers that sign Pro and Soundtrack.
Tight. So when are you putting out your first like artist?
Well, we just dropped the mixtapes. You know, and it's like, we really don't want to be doing too much, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, my project is so huge and it covers so many areas. We don't want to put our artists out there, you know, under the shadow of my stuff and they just get looked over. So we definitely, it's like, find the right time and push everything. But we definitely put their mixtapes out in the streets and online.
Okay. You know, I heard about the album getting leaked, like some parts of the album getting leaked to the internet. What sort of implications does that have for you?
Well, on the business side, it kind of affects the, you know, the possibility of album sales and stuff like that. But I doubt it because the album that people got is not the real version. You know, it's not even, it's like, out of that, I think it was like 18 songs or something like that.
Yeah.
Out of that 18 songs, it was only like six or seven songs that was going to make the album.
Yeah.
You know, so like, they just got a bunch of songs that weren't going to make the album, old stuff and just all unmixed and everything else, but they definitely got like six songs that were gonna make the album, but it was still like another, like they didn't get the song with Jill Scott, I did a song with the Neptunes, this song Kanye, you know, so it was still songs, and songs that I recorded like prior before that didn't make the leak, so definitely gonna be different.
Yeah, they better wait for the real thing then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how'd you come up with your name?
Lupe Fiasco came from, I was in high school. And I used to, my name is Wafa Lou, so I always rapped under like Lou, a Lou Lou, a lyrical underdog, or something like that.
Right.
And so, in high school, when I went to change my name, I had a friend named Lupe.
Uh-huh.
And so like me and him was like super cool. So I was like, yo, I'm gonna change my rap name, I'm gonna use your name, Lupe. And he was like, all right, cool. So, hey, Lupe. And the Fiasco came from Nas's album, Firm Fiasco.
Yeah.
Nas had an album called The Firm, and he had a song on there called Firm Fiasco.
Yeah.
And I liked the way Fiasco looked on paper, and so I just played Fiasco.
Dope. Okay, can you tell us more about the album? Who else is producing on the album? Who's got featured?
Needles, Mike Shinoda. My producer's Pro and Soundtrack, who did a bulk of the album. The Buchanan's, and then like the Neptunes, Kanye. and that's about it.
Tight. Can you explain, like, the album title, the meaning of it?
Udaleka? Udaleka is, in Chicago, a lot of, like, corner stores are called Food and Liquors. And so I haven't seen that, like, anywhere else, you know, like, in the world. But it's, like, Food and Liquor. That'd be the name of the store. And, like, 80% of the stores in Chicago are called Food and Liquors.
Yeah, okay.
So it represents that to me. And then, on the other side, like, I don't drink or smoke. So alcohol always had, like, a bad connotation to me. So the liquor represents the bad, and the food represents the good. So it's, like, the food and the liquor.
And you were a fan of many Chicago artists. What's your favorite album by a Chicago artist?
Probably Twista's Adrenaline Rush.
Oh, yeah, that's mine too. It's tight. How long did you grind at the Chicago Underground before connecting with Kanye?
When I met Kanye, I already had my first record deal. And he had just produced The Truth for Beanie Siegel. So I was already, like, out. You know what I'm saying? When I met Kanye. And we didn't meet on a... We didn't meet, like, oh, let's do some songs together. It was me, like, yo, what's up? And that was that. And then just over the years, you know, like, we started to, like, link up and do different things together. And actually, before he was signed to Rockefeller, I was signed to Arista. And we was trying to get Kanye signed up at Arista. So it's a relationship that, you know, goes back and forth.
Okay. How does it feel now from being, like, underground to being on MTV and having everyone speak your name the next day?
Well, my situation is kind of weird. You know what I'm saying? Because I had my first record deal when I was 18.
Yeah.
So my experience in the underground was really short. It was just through high school, doing talent shows and stuff like that. So, like, I had a record deal when I was still in high school. You know, so, like, 18 all the way up until now, I've always been out. It wasn't like an underground thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was on MTV, like, 3-4 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So, it always been around. You know what I'm saying? It was never a situation where it was like, oh, I'm in the underground, and they just found me, and then I blew up out of the blue. It's like, everything that's going on now has been in the works for, like, 6 years.
Damn.
You know? So it ain't been like just a overnight out the rapping on the corner, smack DVD, and oh, you know,
yeah,
loop
it. True.
It wasn't like that. You know what I'm saying? It was like, this is my third record deal.
Yeah. And could you tell us, like, how's the day when you and Kanye are in the studio? Is it like a perfectionist in the studio? Is it like more chill?
Not really. We only been in the studio once.
You have?
That was for Touch the Sky.
Okay.
And that was really quick because I don't really write. So I just go in there and just do it. So we was in the studio for like an hour and a half.
Okay, cool.
And then that was that. But it was good. You know, I seen him in the studio while he was working on, like, stuff with Jay and stuff like that, and he's real just, like, into his music, you know?
Okay, so what do you do when you're not recording music?
I focus on, like, my other company, Righteous Kung Fu. We do, like, a lot of, like, design and fashion and toys and stuff like that. So that'd be, like, my main focus when I'm not doing, like, hip-hop stuff.
All right. Do you feel that being a Muslim and being religious affects your views on certain aspects of the rap industry?
Of course. I don't really go to after parties. I don't like performing in clubs. I don't do interviews with certain magazines that I feel are really exploitive toward women.
Right. And you know, I know Napoleon from the Outlaws, and he's an artist who shares the same faith as you. And he was telling me about feeling like he was quitting rapping because he said that in the Quran it says music is haram. And how you feel on that?
Well, everybody has their, you know, their take and their threshold on it. I feel that you can take your music, and if you're speaking justly, you know what I'm saying? Or if you're changing something, especially in the climate where it is today, with a voice, and the only way a lot of kids hear stuff or get affected by things is via music. You know, a lot of kids can't relate to, you know, going to, like, a speech, you know, or even going to Juma.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of kids get their words, get their role models and all that stuff off TV or off a radio station or something like that.
Yeah.
So if you have the opportunity to speak some positivity through those same outlets, so they see that it's something different.
Yeah.
You coming with a good message. You know, I definitely think that you should take the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know? It's aspects of it that if you venture off into, definitely you shouldn't be talking about. Certain stuff that people in music shouldn't be talking about, things they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
You know, but all music ain't bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, since 9/11, people here, like, I'm a Muslim myself, and, like, people are more racist now. What can we do to change the views of people, how they look on Muslim people? Like, what can we do?
Well, you can just be Muslim, you know? The best example that you can do to show people is just to be Muslim. Be a true Muslim, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you're human, so you're going to have contradictions, and you're going to have your shortcomings and failures. But if you stick to your deen, that's the best example that you can give, far beyond anything else, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, racism has been around forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Racism has always been here. It always is. It's just now it's on a certain group. You know,
yeah.
Blacks had racism for 400 years.
Yeah.
The most extreme kind of racism. And, like, a lot of the racism came from Arabs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Slave trade was the Arab institution. You know, and that's what led to, you know, Africans being put into slavery. Even the conflict that's going on now in Africa, like in the Sudan. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like a superiority racist thing. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's always going to be racism. You know what I'm saying? You're always going to have that from both parties, from both sides. You know, everybody. It's always going to be a racist. The world is built up on, to me, it's built up on money and racism.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're always going to have it.
All right. And do you think you will be as successful as Jay-Z 10 years from now? Like?
Well, I don't know. You know, that's success, but success is measured in different ways, you know. Like, I don't want to run a record company. Like,
do you want to get involved in all those ventures you've been in, like clothing line and all that?
Sure. I'm doing it now, you know, on a certain level. Like, I got to deal with Reebok, just like Jay-Z got to deal with Reebok, you know. Except
right.
I got mine, like, before my album came out, you know.
Okay,
and so it's like, you can see it's kind of the same things occurring and happening. You know what I'm saying? It's just that it's on a much bigger scale than mine because he's Jay-Z and, you know, he's rich.
Yeah.
So it's like, but you definitely see me, like, taking those steps right now to hopefully, inshallah, I'll be there, like, one day. But
yeah.
Never know.
All right. Okay, bro, that's about it. Can you tell them when the album is coming out and any last words you have for the fans?
Overseas? I don't know. I think in the UK now, I think we pushed it back 2 weeks. So 2 weeks off. So it might be like the middle of July, but I assume they're going to do the same release because it's supposed to come out in, on the 26th of June and come out here on the 27th. So I assume it'll be the same thing just 2 weeks later. So sometime mid-July.